And you're welcome back to the programme. The time now is 29 minutes to 6 o'clock and I'm joined on the line now by Liam Horan for this week's Career Corner. Good evening to you, Liam.
Good evening, Aidan.
And welcome to the programme as always. Now, this evening, you're going to advise people how to deal with the impact of redundancy, how to plan getting a new job, how to focus your efforts, all of that.
Yes, it's an area that we would use a lot of people in Cleanaway Careers who find themselves faced with redundancy, and it can be a hugely traumatic event for people, whether it's voluntary or involuntary. It generally is a very big event for people, even if you're looking forward to redundancy, so to speak, or, you know, hoping to get it. Sometimes people generally take redundancy or frequently take redundancy with an eye on the future as well. They want to do something else. So, and then they find themselves a bit of time in their hands, and it can eat them up if they don't do it properly. So we've done a lot of work with people and built up a kind of a database of things we would say to people about how to handle the aftermath of redundancy. And the first point we would make is that, not to take it personally, not to internalize what has just happened. And it may be a very traumatic event, as I said, but somebody somewhere has made a decision from a commercial perspective that they can no longer employ a person in your position. And that's the definition of redundancy. It's that your position is no longer there. It's not that you have been sacked per se, although there's probably no doubt that some companies do use it to sack people. But in theory, a redundancy is that your position is no longer required in the company. So you've got to, and I don't like to engage in psychobabble or pop psychology, but you've got to let go and move on beyond that point, because really focusing on what has happened or dwelling on what has happened will bring you nowhere. So that's the first thing I would say, is a mindset shift that it's not personal, time to move on and see can you get something else set up for yourself.
But Liam, isn't it very easy, but just to cut across you there,
yeah.
Isn't it very easy to say that, but redundancy very often is going to affect not just the person who no longer has that job, but his wife, his children. The emotional upheaval of that is obviously huge, and it's, as I say, it's easy to say don't internalise it, but easier said than done.
Oh, absolutely, and that's the, you know, the reality of the world. When you work with people in this area, you've got to accept some of the environmental factors as well, like family and mortgages and maybe second mortgages and investment properties and all those things that are there. But, you know, and as somebody who has been in a very similar position, it wasn't quite redundancy, but, you know, I walked out of a job once upon a time on a Thursday after a lot of stuff had gone on, so to speak, and I had no job from the following day onwards, you know. So, I have been down the road, so I would never try to trivialize it. I would never try to make it look like it's just a matter of, you know, dust yourself down and away you go. But I still think the thrust of the advice remains the same. You've got to deal with it, which again is a trivial, glib kind of a phrase, and I suppose I don't have any other kind of phrase, but you've got to get on. You've got to see what's happened, process it, whatever. In the counselling, and I wouldn't be that. But at the point, you've got to look, because look will not do anything for you ultimately. Though it is obviously quite a real, you know, because it's such a real thing, it's very hard to get beyond that point. But it's, I think the thrust of the advice remains the same. Looking backwards will still get you nowhere, you know.
And once an individual has come to terms with the position in which they find themselves and is no longer looking back, they're now looking forward, what's the next step?
Well, it's really about making a plan. We tell people to make a plan. Now, a plan, you know, it needn't be something elaborate. It can have a goal of getting back into the workplace inside 3 months. I did a bit of work with a gentleman last year who went about it in this way, and in fact, the three-month period was exactly the period that it took him to do it. He made a plan very soon after he made redundant. His redundancy wasn't a matter of huge trauma, so he didn't have some of the early processing we talked about a moment ago. But it still actually, even though he took it voluntary, it still did shake him quite a bit when he actually realized, oh, hold on, I've taken the redundancy, and from this moment on, that redundancy pile of money is being eaten into, and that I got to get something sorted. So the clock was ticking quicker than he thought, and his nature was to be a worker as well. But he made a plan which involved trying to get back to the level he was at. He was a salesman, and he broke the plan down with our assistance to a series of small steps he took day by day by day by day by day. And that's what you need to be doing. Is my CV up to scratch? Is my LinkedIn profile up to scratch? Have I found out who my personal and professional, have I written down my professional and personal network? Have I gone to speak to those people? Have I told people who may know me but haven't met me for a while that I'm now on the lookout again? Have I a whole series of small actions? Have I a good cover letter? Have I joined a club, a jobs club, or a network of people who are in the same boat, or a network of people who can help me get back into this sector again? Have I talked to HR people in companies I'd like to work in? Have I made a list of companies I'd like to work in? And he broke down his day's activities in that way. So he said, say, next Friday is the day I'm going to write down all the HR people I know in the companies I want to work in. On Monday, I'm going to find out the names of the HR people I don't know in the companies I'd like to work in. So he systematically went through the period of time and started building contacts, applying for jobs, letting people know he was looking for work. And he got back in the game within the 3 month time frame and got back into a very nice job, and it's still there, in fact. And it's a bit, you have to send out a lot of feelers before something works for you. And you may not even be aware which feeler it is or which action you take that actually brings a result, because, it's not unlike building a business. It's bit by bit, step by step. There are very few eureka moments, and in fact, eureka moments tend to be, in my experience, more eureka moments when you look backwards than when they happened. It's easy to isolate certain things. It's like the All-Ireland final. In 10 years' time, we'll all reduce it to one moment, but it was a much more complex affair than that. It's just to commit to doing the little, making the plan of the little things you might do, and just doing them day by day by day by day by day.
Is there a distinction to be drawn, Liam, between the individual who takes voluntary redundancy for whatever reason and the individual who gets, to quote Enda Kenny, a wallop and suddenly has no job?
It looks, from the outside, it might look like there is, right? There's probably another category of those who take redundancy and are happy to go gently into the good night and retire and play golf and all that kind of thing, okay? In my experience, not as much of a distinction as you might realize, because people who take voluntary redundancy frequently do so with an eye on getting back into their profession or into something different. And they come out and, they take their few weeks off and do the holiday and chill, and then they sort of focus on getting back into work. And they realize, God, this is a bit more difficult than I thought. And they can then be set by the same self-doubt, and all the issues can be thrust in a more dramatic fashion on the people who are given the wallop, So a lot of people, and we're talking here, in a West of Ireland context, a lot of people struggle to get back to work, even though they left for the reasons, on the belief that they would have a bit of a nest egg, take a bit of time and get back in. But that clock ticks a lot quicker than people realise. And I know a number of cases of people who kind of lost their rhythm in some ways in terms of getting back into the workplace.
Isn't that a very valid point? Again, apologies for cutting across, Julian, but
you're fine. Yeah,
there would appear to be a recovery going on in this economy, but it's over towards Dublin and the East Coast, and that here in the West of Ireland, redundancy may very well spell not just 3 months looking for another job, but maybe 3 years, possibly.
Yes, people should not underestimate how much more difficult it is west of the Shannon, and I'm not one to cry the poor mouth by my own decision. I live and enjoy living in the west of the Shannon. But if for example, and there's a slightly different category of people I'm going to draw on here now, but I know people who, and maybe some actually did take redundancy, I didn't think of that before, but who moved from Dublin or London to the west of Ireland. People mid-40s, perhaps, I can think of a number of cases, came back to the west, moved to the west of Ireland, with a bit of a nest egg built up, perhaps, and some part-time work available back in their old place in Dublin or London, doing remotely. And when they land in the business environment of the West of Ireland, really struggling to get to find their feet again. And that's another phenomenon we should probably touch on another evening. The people who relocate here, and my advice to them, they would contact us before they come here at all. Really, sufficient. Be sure that you have something like that, because it is more difficult. It's, and the Shannon is first of all, a smaller business community, but secondly, it's a more complex business community. And it's, you know, because of the work we do, we encounter that all the time. I meet really successful people who have been successful elsewhere who say to me, I can't figure it out here. I can't navigate it. And there probably are informal networks in the west of Ireland that are, there are more formal ones in larger population centres, for example. Like west of Shannon and in rural Ireland in general, the GEA is probably a huge network. The Catholic Church was a huge network, probably still is a large network. So there are all these sort of networks running informally where people know each other. And if you come in from the outside and try and access them, it can appear very forbidding. And that might be true as well of people who are working for a number of years in a job, take redundancy and come out, particularly say in a multinational, leave a multinational and try and navigate small to medium enterprise can be very, very difficult because there are different cultures, different ways of doing things, and all of that is very, very challenging, which is why people who are taking redundancy, and it's something I always warn people to have an opportunity to really consider it very carefully because you don't know what's going to come when you take it.
And for people who might relocate here, back from Dublin or London or even further afield, if they find themselves in a situation where what they had hoped for is not materialising, where they hope that perhaps they might get employment, not what they had been doing, but employment nonetheless so that they can actively participate in society and have friends and all of that sort of thing, is there other advice you give them which is different from the individual who has been made redundant from a job here in the west of Ireland?
The advice I find myself giving, and this is probably more drawing from my sort of life experience as opposed to career training experience, but probably a bit of both. Advice I find myself giving to people all the time who have moved here, have made the decision to come to this part of the country, is to accept that this is where you live, okay? And by that I mean, sometimes people think living, say, in Ballinrobe, well, I can nip up and down to Dublin. Dublin's 130 miles away. It's a day's walk to get to and from Dublin. People even talk about, you know, knock, or London's only an hour away kind of thing. Try and get from, you know, Ballina to London in an hour. You won't be gone through Knock Airport in an hour. People sometimes underestimate or overestimate their capacity to stay tuned in to the business environment in somewhere like Dublin or London in a physical sense. And they kind of keep both feet in the camp is what I see in both camps. What I say to them is accept that you live here. If you're going to be working through Dublin or London, look at doing it remotely, look at using technology, look at, you know, Skype, things like that, various technologies that allow you to do that. And I've seen one or two cases that they actually started becoming more successful, in my view, looking at them, when they accepted, this is where I am 7 days a week. I don't go to Dublin twice a week because it's time-consuming, it's costly, it's energy-draining, and it can sap your morale as well. If you spend a wasted day in Dublin for one meeting, perhaps, at least if you waste a meeting here in Mayo, it's only 2 hours, whereas in Dublin it's a full day. So that's one thing I think that people, if they're relocating here, this is where they're relocating. And unless they have a really definite tie-up in a remote kind of technology sense with the company they have in London or Dublin, don't be thinking you'll be hopping up and down to Dublin or London twice a week or three times a month.
Liam, we have to leave it there. I feel that we have, that you have rather, opened up a topic that will probably require much further discussion, and we might continue on this topic next Monday evening and perhaps devote longer than the usual 15 minutes to it.
Okay, absolutely, yes. I'd be interested in doing that.
Very good. Liam Horan, as always, thank you very much indeed for joining us, and we'll talk to you again next Monday evening, 5:30, or maybe a little bit before that.
Okay, thanks for that, Aidan. Thank you.
Very good evening to you.